So we put a significant effort into looking at our apprenticeship programs that we have in this state, and not only looking at expanding those, but one of the examples, and I just give it, that the local union brought to us is they work within some of the larger high schools in the Polk County Metro. They wanted to make sure they had the ability to continue to do that in the future, and what could we do to help assist that? So those are the kind of ideas that I think we're trying to do. Let's reach these kids in Iowa. I'm a perfect example. I was never going to be a four-year, immediately out of high school to a four-year college degree. I wanted to farm. Kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I did need to learn a little bit more about the trade. And so as we look at these types of jobs, these are the kind of things that I think you're seeing us make investments in, because you're going to see that those people stay in the state of Iowa. We've been getting some more reports that we are losing too many kids directly from our universities to other states. And if you look at these types of programs, they have a very high retention rate. So shouldn't we be investing the dollars into the programs that are having a very high retention rate? That's a perfect example of the things that we worked on this session that I think pay the long-term dividends to address several other problems and issues that we probably have or will discuss today.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK Quad Cities NPR.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of eastern Iowa and northwestern Illinois. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and on today's show, my focus is going to be on the Iowa legislative session. What important legislation was passed that impacts the lives of Iowans? Maybe some things that did not get addressed. And I'm very honored to have as my guest the distinguished speaker of the Iowa House of Representatives, Pat Grassley. Speaker Grassley's been a guest on my show before. I can remember one time in the true model of a citizen legislator, I think you were still out farming on one of those huge implements, because I remember the background was a beautiful cornfield. So real quickly, Speaker Grassley represents the 57th District. That's all of Butler County and part of Bremer County. He's first elected in 2006 and was elected Speaker in 2020. As always, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be a guest speaker.
Yeah, glad to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity to be back with you. I think we've had a chance to talk a few times, and it's good to always talk to my friends on the eastern side of the state here. So,
yeah, well, we're very glad to have you here. Kind of give an overview as speaker, kind of talk big picture. What were the big accomplishments that you felt? And then we'll talk a little detail about some of those, too.
Yeah, and I think, so this session, as any of your listeners were paying attention to what was going on in the legislative session, you probably all got tired of hearing the word property tax as much as we got tired of saying it. But that, I would say, dominated this legislative session. We left the last legislative session the year before saying, you know, trying to find a way to get, find a solution to make sure there's certainty for the taxpayer. I've always felt, and I think our caucus has always felt, that the certainty has existed for the taxing entity, and we wanted to get that role reversed and put that back in the certainty of for the taxpayer. And I think we started down that path 2 years ago. We were unable to find something that we felt we could get compromise on the Senate, but also something that was meaningful change. And hopefully Iowans saw us come take the interim, hear from Iowans, and have we heard from Iowans about the frustrations and the pressures and the pinches that they're feeling on something that we can, obviously it's too bad we have to be involved in. We'd love for that to be dealt with at the local level, but issues that rise to our level, you know, we want to make sure that we're being responsive. And so I would say this session was dominated by property taxes. And as you look at that bill, and I'm sure that's something, I know that's something that you wanted to spend some more time on. And so if I jump into that a little too deep, you know, cut me off at any point if you want. But I would just say, as we entered that again, getting certainty for the taxpayer, when you look at the bill that we all ultimately passed, all of the bills that were introduced to this legislative session from the House, the Senate, and the governor had some similar form of putting a cap on revenue to local governments. And we think that's extremely important from the standpoint, again, to try to achieve that certainty for the taxpayer. When you look at some of the things that we did within the system, where can you provide relief? Where can you also make changes to the system that currently exists that make it so there's more benefit to the taxpayer? We changed some credits to exemptions, so Iowans aren't paying on $20,000 worth of value of their home. We looked at buying down the 540 levy with some of the changes that occurred due to making that previous change I just talked about, buying down the 540 levy so it doesn't just impact residential property. That will give relief for all classes of property. So as you looked at that bill, we did a lot of different things. We tried to keep it simple. When we came in the legislative session, our bill only had a few pieces to it. Some of the others in the building had several more pieces and maybe we considered. But ultimately, our goal was on that 2% revenue cap to provide certainty. Because again, and this is something that naturally we get as a follow-up question, so I'll just bring it up because I think it's something we have to talk about. Everyone immediately jumps to assessments. And that is a local decision. The local governments take a vote to say, yes, we approve of how much money we can take in. But with putting the cap in, and I think that's what's the beauty of the cap, is the local governments can only collect so much revenue on top of what they did the previous year. So while your assessment may go up, it doesn't throw off the housing market. It doesn't throw off selling of your home or buying of a home. But it says local government, you can only take in so much money. So as you look at the several pieces of it that I think have an impact to provide certainty for the taxpayer, that's the one that really bends the long-term curve and gets us towards a solution in which we've taken multiple stabs at over the last several years. I mean, honestly, probably since I've been in the legislature trying to find solutions. And I'm not saying this is the silver bullet, but I think this is the closest thing we've come to really shift the narrative and shift the certainty to the taxpayer.
Just to be clear, the amounts the local governments can assess is capped, but not necessarily the amount an individual pays. Is that right?
Yeah. So your assessment can still increase. It can still go up. I mean, it could go up 100%. I mean, obviously, that's probably not going to happen in most cases, but the local government can only collect. So the assessment can go up from the local government, but the local government can only collect so much more revenue, which is a 2% cap. And so that is what I think really is the main piece of it. But, you know, like I said, I don't want to shortchange some of those exemptions on classes of property, because you have some people saying, well, we shouldn't have to pay any property tax. And what I would tell them, this is a huge step towards saying you don't have to pay on the full value of your property. And you have other pieces within the bill where we provide a relief for all classes of property. Yes, residential was where we were hearing the most complaints, but it was really all forms of it. So there's multiple pieces to the bill, but the 2% is kind of the overall long-term highlight of it.
Mr. Speaker, I have to ask this. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, hearing talk about this and how complicated this property tax system can be, and a lot of people realize this was done back in a different era. If you could wave a magic wand, would you get rid of this system totally and just have local government financed by some other means?
Well, so the problem is we had what I just discussed. Usually in the legislature, when we come in a session, we get something done with it or it goes away. That's typically how it's kind of worked under Republicans and Democrats. I think that's unique to where we are right now. I would say it is such a difficult task because ultimately it is a local issue. That the state, while we do backfill a lot of things for local governments, don't forget that. I mean, local governments will immediately say, this is a local thing, stay out of our business. And I've said, well, look at some of the changes, look at the TIF policies, look at some of the backfills that the state does provide for you. Basically, unasked, we just give you the money to make sure you're kept whole. So while it's a local program, or while it's a local funding mechanism, the state does have a pretty big fingerprint on that. And so from my perspective, as far as would you be able to just completely go to a new system? I don't know. I mean, I'm just leveling with you. I don't know if it's something that would even be a reasonable solution to say. Now, there's a lot of folks saying, well, we shouldn't do it based on property tax. It should be a sales tax or whatever the other things. But we've looked at the amount of money that it would take to replace using local property taxes. And I think you'd have to raise some of your sales tax so high that then at that point, you're starting to create a whole new set of problems. Ultimately, and you said something and you're right, ultimately, it is a very complicated system. You have local townships, you have local cities, you have local counties, you have local school districts, all of which are levying taxes on you. And there's more. I mean, obviously, I left some out, but those are your major ones. And whenever you start getting into their territory, everybody kind of circles the wagons. That's why I think that overall revenue cap for your local governments really puts you in a position where it's a new concept we've never really attempted, but it's a major change that I think was definitely needed to the system.
And it should, in for our listeners again, by capping those assessments, that should trickle to limit increases for individual homeowners, I would think, definitely. Yeah.
And that's where you get your certainty. Yeah. I mean, that's really where your certainty comes into. And that's what we heard from Iowans. Not all Iowans. They would say, we understand we have to pay property taxes. We want to have local services. But when you're seeing these 20, 30, 40% increases, that's not sustainable. And really, honestly, to ask that of a taxpayer, in some cases who have their home paid for, in some cases who have their first-time home, that system wasn't working as it was.
If anybody complains, Speaker, send them to me. I live in Illinois. My tax bill just went up 10%, and they're just skyrocketing over here. So anyway,
well, we can fix that real quickly, but you just let us know when. We'll find you a place.
Thank you. All right. Let's look at schools. Schools are so important. I don't need to give the long introduction to this, but education, I would argue, is even more important every year, meeting the demands of the global economy. And, providing a method for kids to go out and get good jobs. What action did the legislature take in this session on schools?
Yeah. And I always tell everybody one of the first bills that we pass each legislative session, and when it comes to budgetary items, the first item we usually pass is our school funding and the SSA that we pass, the state supplemental aid. And when you look at that, I always tell Iowans, you know, we're spending more money than we ever have on K-12 education. So there is that piece. And there's always going to be a want for more. I mean, I've done this for 20 years now. I'm not sure what that amount would be in which somebody, and I'm not just picking on schools, I'm saying anyone that asks for a budget request would ever say, you know what, I think we have enough. So that's a pretty common theme. But what I would tell you is we're spending more than we ever have. And when it comes to K-12 education for this specifically, and make sure I follow up with something else to you, back to your question, but something that we have to be talking about in a state like ours is looking at the population decline. And I'm not saying a reduction in, you know, we've been pretty stable in the amount of people that live in the state of Iowa. It's the amount of babies being born in the state of Iowa that really, if someone were to say to me, if your question was, what's your biggest fear over the next 5 to 10 years when it comes to K-12 education? It's the fact that we have 10,000 less students in K-3 than we do right now, 9-12. And as you fund education on a per pupil basis, that 10,000 is a significant amount of money. If you look at, let's just say it's around, what is it, about $8,000? I'm just that taking that number off the top of my head, might even be a little bit more. You start looking at those amount of numbers. So we're putting significant amounts of money into education. What's happening is you're having less babies being born, and especially with some migration within the state, some school districts are growing, a lot of them aren't. That's what I see as the biggest fear that we have to be talking about, and it gets back to all the other policies about making sure that Iowa's a place that people want to raise a family and have children. But that really, for me, is what I see as the overarching issue that we don't talk about enough, is the lack of children. And like I said, I'll say that a number again. I saw you calculate in your head, but 10,000 less students in K-3 than 9-12 right now. And that number should be very concerning for all of us in this space. Now, to your prior original question, before I maybe went off a little bit on my tangent, but I always have to try to get that in any conversation that I have.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think is extremely important, being a community college graduate, I went to high school. After high school, I wanted to farm. My dad and grandpa said, no, you're going to go to college. I went to the local community college in Waterloo for 2 years. And I tell everyone, had I not done something after high school, I would not be sitting in this position. It doesn't matter what you do something. So this year, we really made an effort to try to make investments in apprenticeship programs and accessing kids earlier and earlier. We worked with the unions. We worked with the contractors. We worked with public-private. I mean, we worked with everyone to try to craft a bill, community colleges, to say, what can we do in the state of Iowa to make sure we're training these people? Because back to my previous question around a lack of babies being born in this state, you have to look at what are those jobs in which people don't work remotely. They're going to be working with their hands. They're going to stay in these rural communities to make sure that we have enough people to fill the jobs and then also fill the schools. And so we put a significant effort into looking at our apprenticeship programs that we have in this state, and not only looking at expanding those, but one of the examples, and I just give it, that the local union brought to us is they work within some of the larger high schools in the Polk County Metro. They wanted to make sure they had the ability to continue to do that in the future, and what could we do to help assist that? So those are the kind of ideas that I think we're trying to do. Let's reach these kids in Iowa. I'm a perfect example. I was never going to be a four-year, immediately out of high school, to a four-year college degree. I wanted to farm, kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I did need to learn a little bit more about the trade. And so as we look at these types of jobs, these are the kind of things that I think you're seeing us make investments in, because you're going to see that those people stay in the state of Iowa. We've been getting some more reports that we are losing too many kids directly from our universities to other states. And if you look at these types of programs, they have a very high retention rate. So shouldn't we be investing the dollars into the programs that are having a very high retention rate? That's a perfect example of the things that we worked on this session that I think pay the long-term dividends to address several other problems and issues that we probably have or will discuss today.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. I'm Robin Johnson, and I'm joined today by Iowa House Speaker Pat Grassley. And for everybody out there that complains all the time, I don't hear, you know, all the news stories just cover polls and politics. Here you go. We're talking policy. And as a policy nerd myself, the speaker's giving a lot of data and facts here, which is much appreciated on my end anyway, on some of the actions they've taken, but some of the underlying problems here, and something that he just shared that I wasn't aware of on some of the demographics in Iowa that are causing concern. I mean, and in fairness, I mean, that problem of a lack of new births of babies is not just Iowa. It's across large parts of the country, Western Europe, and there's not much you can do to force that other than like what you're trying to do, which is incentivize people staying here and coming here.
Well, not to cut you off, but that's exactly what we've started looking at more is, and this is something that I've been saying for several years, and you know, this can be kind of prickly with some groups, and I fully respect that, but we're investing hundreds of millions of dollars into our Regents institutions, and I'm not saying they don't do a good job, but we're also have a lot of programs in which we're educating kids here in Iowa with Iowa taxpayer dollars just to immediately ship them to other states that maybe offer whatever different job opportunity, whatever that would be. I'm not saying we should not give support to our Regents institutions. What I'm saying is we need to look at where that money's going, and is there ways in which we can better spend some of those for the long-term needs and the immediate needs of the state.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, let's shift. We got several more topics here I'd like to hit. We may not get to them all, but that's okay.
I'm not filibustering, so I'm doing my best. I'm just trying to get you as much information as possible.
This program is built for extended discussions by my speakers, and I encourage that. So criminal justice reform. Let's talk about that. That's always an important topic.
Yeah. This session, and this really sparked a last summer, with the incident that happened to the refugee that we had here in this country, or to the Ukrainian that we had here in this country in North Carolina, really shook me, where you have a young woman just trying to go about bettering their life in this country and to be violently murdered for no reason. As a parent of a daughter who's in the nursing program right now here in Iowa, similar age, it really stuck. I mean, it bothered me as a parent. And I thought to myself, why do people live in Iowa? Well, the first reason would be because they don't want to live in Illinois or Minnesota. I jokingly say that to your listeners, so hopefully they'll laugh at that. Come join us. But they live here because they want to have that community feel, and they want to know when their kids go out at night or they go out during the day that they're going to come home and they don't have to live. They want to grow up, I think, the way I grew up here in Iowa in the 80s and the 90s, where you could go out with your friends, didn't have a cell phone, we came home at night, and you felt safe about it. And some of these ideas that we've looked at this year actually kind of came from the Quad Cities. I come over about once a year and kind of do some tours with some of the legislators over there in my caucus in the Quad Cities and hear a lot of concern about, are we doing enough to make sure that violent repeat offenders are not wanting to come to this state? We would love to see around the state of Iowa a border that says, if you're a career criminal, if you're a violent offender, you're not welcome here in Iowa. That's not what we want to promote. And so when we came into session, that besides property taxes, that was one of the big things that we wanted to look at, is making sure we had a true three strikes law in place, that if you're going, again, this isn't saying a three strikes law for a habitual offender on speeding tickets or not wearing your seatbelt. I mean, all those things which you should follow the law. We're talking about career criminals that have a pattern of behavior of drug or violent offenses. They should not just be on the streets here in the state of Iowa. And that was one of the things that we came in with. And what we ultimately ended up getting, while it wasn't the exact way the bill was written when we introduced it, working with the Senate, we did make some significant steps forward towards that three steps law and our habitual offender laws. to make sure that, again, to send that message that if you want to be a career criminal, Iowa probably is not the place for you to do it. And we led off very strongly with that. We also looked at making sure we had bail reform, that if you were a violent offender, you weren't just going to come in, either be in the state or come into the state, commit your crime and just walk, and then we can't find you, or we don't know what you're doing. So we made some changes to that to make sure that some of those individuals weren't just going to be walking free and then they were just going to be on the street. So when we came in this session, that was another big topic here. That was more of a House-driven priority. And again, like I said, a lot of those conversations came from some of my friends over there on your side, on the Quad City areas, of just saying, you know, we're seeing increased crime, meeting with sheriffs and police chiefs and saying, you know, we don't know what to do about some of the crime problems that we're having. So, you know, hopefully that shows that we are at citizen legislature. We do listen to the concerns at the local level and we take them to Des Moines, and your folks like Mike Vondren, Gary Moore, and other folks over there do a great job of doing that and help leading those charges.
The incident you referred to, I remember seeing that. For our listeners, it was a horrific video that was being shared. And I know what you're talking about. And yeah, that should not happen.
Yeah. And like I said, I still remember I saw that clip and I immediately called our staff and I said, because it came out of, you know, the past record history, and none of it wouldn't be okay even if it was a first time offense. But the point being, when you see it and then you see someone's rap sheet and you're like,
Wait,
Iowa's not going to be like this. Like, this is, Iowans live here for a reason, and it's not that. And so I think that was what kind of woke us up to look at this. But, you know, we have cases happening even in the state of Iowa. And I think a lot of people think because we are a pretty safe state, a lot of us have grown up here and our childhood was very safe, that look at it and say, oh, well, that's not happening here. But we have incidents. And I think one of the examples that we've used is from the eastern part of the state, where we had a career violent offender and a career criminal that murdered a young girl on the eastern side of the state. And those things are happening here, and we want to make sure we try to put a stop to that and discourage them from happening.
But a lot of talk about cancer rates in Iowa. I know there's some study going on researching that, but I know you also took some action in the areas of health care and water quality. Talk about those together, if you would.
Yeah, I think we could. I hopefully I don't take up the rest of our time doing this, because there's several topics within this conversation that I think. The first thing that I would say, just making sure to we remind everyone, is last session, and nobody's on here to listen to what we did last session, but last session, the previous session, 25, we looked at a bill and we passed a bill that would fund a cancer study at the University of Iowa. Because I think one of my frustrations, I don't know if it's frustrations is the right word, but we just throw 100 things up to the wall and we say, this is why we have higher cancer rates in Iowa. So we thought, okay, as a legislator, let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's have the university, a third party, do a study. We gave them the money. We didn't say, hey, this is what we want for an outcome. We said, bring us the best studies. Some of the initial responses that we're seeing in this, and I think it ties into some of the other issues that we discussed, is looking at making sure that we have healthier Iowans is a perfect example of some of the policies that we've looked at. The environmental stuff is yet to come in the study. Hopefully we have it at some point. I think it's supposed to be in the summer or early fall, at looking at some of the other aspects. But, you know, you look at binge drinking, for example. There are some things that Iowans are doing that could make us healthier. Binge drinking was one of the higher ones and also exists in some of the surrounding states with other similar higher levels. But that's why we also looked at several pieces of policy this session, looking at physical fitness, looking at, you know, I know we've taken some heat looking at it now with the court case right now, it's kind of in limbo, looking at making sure that our SNAP requirements are going for healthier foods. And I know that, like, the Hy-Vees of the world were investing significant resources and making sure they could be a partner with the state into things like that. We've been very aggressive in asking the federal government for waivers to make sure that we're producing healthier Iowans. We're adding, and something that I was a part of over here on the House side, is adding more physical activity for kids in school, limiting the amount of screen time. That was one of the pieces of the bill. We passed a bill last year that would have dealt with cell phones in school. This year, we limited the amount of screen time that K-5 can have. And adding the presidential fitness test, once that's approved at the federal level, making sure that our students are doing it. I think there's a lot of human behavior issues that we've tried to address in this. Now, you look at the environmental, and that's yet to come in the study. So I try not to get too far ahead and point any fingers to what some of the results could be. But you look at like radon mitigation. We had a bill here that we would be looking at making sure that, you know, it does, you know, obviously affects the cost to build a house. It's pretty minimal. But looking at radon, we have very unique soil types. We're very fortunate to have the greatest soil on the face of the earth. But we also think it probably does potentially lead to some different forms of cancer. And so looking at radon mitigation systems, and we do have free radon testing to anyone that's listening through the state, you can access that. And now when it comes to the water specifically, that continues to be an issue, especially right here in the Polk County Metro. I'm not saying it's not important all over the state, but right here in Polk County, with what's been going on at the Des Moines Water Works over the last, probably what, coming up on a decade now, I'm assuming. Looking at the water quality issue here in the state is a significant topic that's going to be discussed and has been discussed. We passed a bill this year that would have looked at investing over $25 million into the Des Moines Water Works plant right here in Polk County. I feel like it's something they should have stayed ahead on themselves, but we also recognize 1/6 of Iowans live within this water treatment facility, this group right here in the state, right here in central Iowa. And so we made a significant investment. At the same time, we also, and this was an idea that came from the House, made sure that we expanded some of the grant opportunities we have for our local communities to look at wastewater and look at water treatment facilities in their local areas as well. And so we made significant investments. And I remind everyone, a couple numbers to keep in mind that I think are extremely important, because admittedly, myself and other leaders in the state probably have not done a good enough job about talking about all that we have been doing when it comes to, and I hate to ever do this as a farmer, just point the blame to agriculture, because I don't believe it is the sole reason for any of the things that have been discussed. But at the same time, I think we are making a lot of good changes in the practices that we're using in agriculture. Buffer strips, we're looking at saturated buffers, we're looking at the way we apply nitrogen. And we've spent over $1 billion over 10 years. We spent $1 billion on our water quality and looking at our nutrient reduction strategy. The bill that we just passed invests over $300 million over the next, I think, 12 years, if I remember right, or 13 years into these continued things I just touched on. So I want Iowans to know that we're taking the issue very seriously, and we have been taking the issue very seriously, making significant investments, and we recognize that that's something they expect of us. I know that was a little long one. I get that, but there's a lot of issue of cancer and water quality, I think, has so many pieces to it, and there's so many moving pieces with it all the time. That's why once we get that full study back, I think it's going to be very helpful for us to really now start hyper-targeting what are those issues in the rest of the study.
On this show, lengthy answers are welcome.
Speaker. As long as nobody falls asleep, Robin, that's all I'm afraid of. Yeah.
They never say they weren't informed from our discussions. Anyway, I got 30 seconds. One more issue, the constitutional amendment on taxes.
Yeah. I just think we fought so hard here in the legislature with the trifecta to make sure that we can bring Iowa to one of the lower income tax states in the state of Iowa. We want to leave that up to Iowans to decide if that's something that needs a 2/3 majority moving forward. Putting us at that 3.8% flat tax has taken a lot of work and time. And so now Iowans will have to tell us whether they think that's something that they want to have that long-term certainty when it comes to their state income tax.
Well, listeners, you strapped yourselves in. That was a very interesting discussion, all policy. And I think everybody's better for it, just hearing what this leader in the state of Iowa has to say. He's Pat Grassley, the Speaker of the Iowa General Assembly. He's been Speaker since 2020. And we didn't have everything, but that's okay. I really enjoyed the conversation. I think our listeners, again, are better for it, because to hear these extended answers on what's going on in Iowa state government. Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for your time again.
Yeah, appreciate the invitation.
You've been listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR. You can follow Heartland Politics at WVIK.org or wherever you subscribe to podcasts.